Bill Laff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's Friday, and that means a visit with our friend Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. Kurt, how are you?
Hello.
Everything good?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Fuzzy Friday. You didn't shave. Thank you.
Well, the Hawks are in the playoffs, right?
Yes. So is this your playoff beard?
Yes.
That's the most optimistic thing I've ever heard you say. That's very nice of you. Wow, you got to jump on the rest of the city, Kurt. Hey, excellent.
I love it.
I'm getting started early. It takes so long.
Excellent. Good for you. Boy, I hate to do this. I hate to start off the segment on a sad note, but this is very sad news that came across the wires this morning, and that is that Terry Jones, one of the members of Monty Python's Flying Circus, is suffering from dementia, which is terrible. A couple of years ago at another radio station, Terry Jones was in town, and we had him up, and we get to interview Terry Jones. And I've met four of the Pythons. He was the last so far. And what a nice man he is. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very sad. He's 74 years old, and he is suffering from primary progressive aphasia. That is a form of dementia. Those guys, the Python guys, revolutionized comedy.
Yes.
They really did.
And 74 is so young, really.
I remember my brother and I could not wait to watch that. Every time, you know, every week.
It was Sunday nights at 10:30,
yeah,
right?
That was like an event thing.
You didn't grow up in Chicago, so where you were, was it also on, as Wendy said, here it was on Sunday nights at 10:30. Was it on the same, do you remember, by
it
you?
It could have been Sunday nights because we wouldn't have gotten to stay up for it, although I used to sneak behind the couch a lot.
When
I was supposed to be sleeping.
Yeah, oh. Watch what my parents were. But it must have been on a different time because it used to be a appointment TV thing for us.
Yeah.
And while watching it, I had a tough time interpreting the British accent. So we were little when it was on.
Right.
And I really had a tough time figuring out what they were saying. So I would just laugh when my mom and sister laughed.
That's perfect.
And we still have a penguin. My sister has a penguin on her telly.
Yeah.
There was a sketch. What's on the telly? I do believe it's a penguin. So yeah. We have a cast iron penguin on our television because of that show.
If you'll remember, PBS back then, or especially WTTW here in Chicago, had a block of British comedies.
Yeah.
It was No Honestly. It was the Dave Allen Show.
I loved that show.
It was the Two Ronnies.
Yeah.
And it was Monty Python.
Fawlty Towers.
Fawlty Towers for a little bit. I think there's only 7 or 8 episodes of Fawlty Towers, so they'd run through that one pretty quickly. But
well, that was the Fawlty Towers.
John Cleese.
Yeah, he was a Monty Python guy too. Yeah. And you know the movies too.
Oh my God.
So funny.
Some of my favorite.
Yeah.
Sad news.
We've only lost one member of Monty Python. Grant Chapman is no longer with us. But we're just coming out today that Terry Jones, one of the founding members, one of the members of Monty Python, is suffering from dementia. That's very sad. You pointed this out last week, and now you've come up with data to prove your theory. Television has this weird love relationship with movies. If something did well at the box office, TV says, well, let's kind of do a version of that. And boy, is that going on a lot right now.
And it's nothing new, I guess. I mean, TV adapts from books and old TV shows and movies all the time. But right now, it seems like there's a huge amount of them.
You know, sometimes, and it doesn't happen often, but sometimes it's a better version when a movie goes to television. The one that comes to mind immediately is MASH. MASH was a good movie, a Robert Altman film years and years ago. When it came to TV, they really got to explore the characters, right. And it was so much better.
Well, the TV show became kind of an institution.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
I remember we had a viewing party for the last episode.
Of MASH.
Of MASH, yeah.
I know I've said this before, but that last episode, my cousin Susie had to do some open house. She was a teacher, and she was going to miss it. So I took my bright yellow Panasonic tape recorder and recorded just the audio for it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because we didn't have VCRs at that time. We didn't, anyway.
Yep.
So I remember going to a house and playing it for her. Okay, now listen to this. This is really tragic. And it was an amazing finale.
Sure.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Yeah, but what brings this up, I guess, today is tonight The Exorcist begins on Fox. And what I love about this show is that it's not a retread of the movie or any of the lesser movies after the original The Exorcist. But it does this cool thing where when this priest thinks that there's maybe a demonic possession happening in this house, in his parish, he goes to research exorcisms and demons and stuff like that. And he comes across the story of the events of the original Exorcist. So they basically take those fictional events and make them part of the history of
this fictional story
now.
That's great.
You know, and it's also set for it having happened 40 years ago in the show too, which is really cool. And if you've ever seen the original Exorcist, when you see that newspaper clipping, you totally know.
Yeah.
You know what they're talking about. And it's just very cool. And then they only use the Tubular Bells theme song at the very end.
Oh, they do? Yeah.
And they had a big debate about whether the producers had a big debate about whether to use it or not at all. And then they thought, oh, well, you know, it kind of works at the end of this.
I think it pays nice tribute.
But that's the only time they're using it, though.
Is at the end of episode one, tonight's episode. It's shot here in Chicago.
And it's shot here in Chicago and all around. And I think it's going to be really cool because, you know, I had asked the guy who directed the first episode you know how they were going to get out of the house, because demonic possession things a lot of time it's just in the one bedroom where
right.
the demon is possessing someone.
Right.
And he says that there's a larger story, and you know I think there's sort of a larger almost conspiracy happening that takes it beyond.
Yeah.
And like I know they shot one episode, they shot a huge thing on an L. They got an L. And they had to do it late at night after the traffic was sort of done, so they went around the loop on the L and shot this whole scene.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So they will get out. Gina Davis is in it. Alan Ruck is in it.
Love him.
I love the song. That's why it sounds spookier when he's talking about it with the song by Mike Oldfield.
Right. And there's a bunch of other people in it, too. Alfonso Herrera, who's in Sense8. And then a couple of new actresses that... I don't think would be recognizable, but it looks really good. I mean, the pilot was great, and I'm excited to see more of
good,
it.
Good, good.
But it starts tonight.
That's The Exorcist on Fox. Watch it tonight, and then there are plenty of other shows.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon started this week on Fox.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
All right, wait, hold the thought. Kurt Wagner's here of TVShowPatrol.com. We're talking about movies that have been adapted into TV series. TV is using a lot of them right now. We'll go through a couple more for you next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner is here from TVShowPatrol.com. Have you been to the website, TVShowPatrol.com? I think you're going to like it. Today, Kurt is talking about movies that have been adapted, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, into TV series. Why all of a sudden, Kurt? I mean, there's always been a trickle of them, but right now there seems to be an overabundance. How come, would you say?
There's a ton of them. Oh, before we go on, the actor in The Exorcist I forgot to mention was Ben Daniels, who's amazing as the actual exorcist.
Why do I know Ben Daniels' name? I've seen him in
He's
something.
Been in a lot of different things.
Yeah, that's where I know him from.
Anyway, he's very intense.
Oh,
it's
good.
Very good. Anyway, so yes, why are there so many? Because I think...
Hollywood's out of ideas.
Well, they're either out of ideas or they don't want to take a chance on something... brand spanking new.
That's
and,
part of
you know,
it, isn't
these
it?
Things have built in audiences, they hope.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out because there's been a lot of recent cancellations of these type of things.
Sure.
You know, I guess it just depends. But I think that's probably the biggest thing is that, you know, it's less of a risk.
I bet. You mentioned Lethal Weapon a little while ago. It's Damon Wayans who's taken on the Danny Glover role in this. And a guy
named Clayne Crawford, who's really good as the Mel Gibson role. He had some really good moments in the pilot. I have to see a couple more of that before I decide whether it's... The pilot seemed very...
Does it seem silly?
It seemed very, you know, standard. Let's just do it like the original.
Yeah.
You know, so... But we'll see.
Same kind of storyline, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
The Clayne Crawford's... family has died, and so he comes to LA, but he's sort of on this mission to get himself killed.
Yeah.
So he takes all these unnecessary risks
when
he's fighting crime. And Damon Wayne's character is a guy who was not far from retiring, but his wife just had a baby, which was an unexpected baby, you know?
Yeah.
And he just wants to sort of get through his time and be done, but then he has to get partnered up with this new guy who's very takes a lot of risks.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's Wendy's story and mine.
Yeah.
You just told our story.
I'm the risky one.
Yeah. Yep. I'm too old for this. I'm ready to retire, but Wendy's a risk taker. On HBO, they're doing Westworld. Which for years I've said, why don't they remake Westworld? I love Westworld. They're doing it on HBO, but... I'm hearing problems. They were supposed to run it, and then they postponed it.
Apparently, it wasn't as easy to do as one might think.
Yeah.
But I saw the first four episodes. They put them in the screening room last week, and I watched them. I was just going to watch one, and then I ended up watching all four. And I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it's kind of moody and a little bit slow in parts, but by the time I got to the third episode, the third and fourth episode were just like, whoa.
Oh, good.
Gangbusters.
What was Westworld again?
That was the Yul Brynner movie where they'd created this world.
An amusement park.
A theme park that was Western themed.
Ah.
And they were robots, right?
Right.
That you were interacting with, and people who had lots of money could go in.
James Brolin, Richard Benjamin were in the originals along with Yul Brynner. And I always thought that James Brolin's son, Josh Brolin, should recreate his role. But they didn't go with Josh Brolin. They went with somebody else. But Anthony Hopkins is in this.
Is in it.
Tandy Newton.
She's
good.
Yeah. I can't think of his name. That guy who was in Pollock, the Pollock movie.
I never saw it.
Lots of good people in it, though. James Marsden's in it.
Like him?
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
And this time around, it's more artificial intelligence because it's not in the 70s and, you know, it's newer. And so these robots are very...
very lifelike.
Yeah, very lifelike. Yeah.
Ed Harris,
yeah.
Oh, Ed Harris.
Ed Harris
is
really good, yeah.
Oh, I like him. Good.
But the thing that struck me about this, as opposed to other, there's been, artificial intelligence has been sort of the themes of movies and robots becoming sentient and all that kind of stuff, you know. But what struck me about this that hasn't struck me about more recent things is how the humans who are paying big bucks to go here treat the robots and how it sort of reflects on how... You know, I guess nowadays, maybe it's just because of the things that go on, but all the trolls and people on the internet who, you know, people say stuff on Facebook and on Twitter and on all those social media platforms about people that they would never say to their face, you know, and I really saw a connection to that I haven't seen in other things, like even within the last couple of years.
So this show, Westworld, premieres the first week in October, right on HBO.
The first Sunday, I believe, yeah.
That's right. That sounds right. Good, I'm anxious to see that.
Somebody wants to know when Better Call Saul is starting again.
Oh, good question.
That is a good question.
Probably next...
It's going to be a while?
Yeah. Isn't it a
they do a mid-season late season
thing? Yeah. Isn't it like January, somewhere around there? Isn't it a spring?
You're the television expert.
I believe it is.
And The Walking Dead starts October.
Yeah, it does. I think a week before Halloween.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
If I may, there's just one or two other movie adaptations that are mentioned here that I didn't even know they were making, much less are airing. Training Day, which was a great, great movie, a Denzel Washington movie that I love. That's coming to CBS.
In mid-season, so January probably.
That'll be good. Is Emerald City a TV take on Wizard of Oz?
It's It's a little bit more Bizarro land, though. Bizarro Wizard of Oz, yeah.
And then
can it get more Bizarro, really, when you think about it?
Well, I think it's more adult, maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen any of it yet.
And then, is this already on, From Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh, yeah, that's in its third season right now on El Rey Network. And that started out as the same story as the movie, but then just filled in a lot of blanks and sort of expanded the universe.
Did you ever see that? That's a Quentin Tarantino movie with George Clooney.
I don't think I saw that.
It's really a good movie.
Yeah.
It's strange, but good. And then I didn't even know. This is one that just got canceled, and if somebody told me it was on, I would have been happy to watch it. Damien, that's an offshoot of The Exorcist. That was a
no,
TV
The Omen.
Oh, The Omen. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Omen.
Yeah.
That was a series?
Yeah, that was on A&E earlier this year or last fall, one of the two. But I don't think it did very well and it was him, like, when he was 30. He just turned 30.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and then he discovers that he might be who he might be.
Really quickly, I saw the new Kiefer Sutherland show that you recommended the other day.
Designated Survivor.
I watched that last night with my family. Did you see this, Wendy?
No.
It's really pretty good.
Yeah, I like the pilot. That's all I've seen, but I'm eager to see where it goes.
Yeah, you know, the big fear was because he was around terrorism in 24, people would go, well, it's Jack Bauer playing the president. But he really plays a very different character in this. Right. I like the difference.
I don't wonder if he will, because he won't. But I was still waiting when I first saw the pilot for him to, you know, just bust out and
right.
crack some heads
right.
like, somewhere.
No, he plays almost a nerdish kind of.
Yeah.
Is he whispery in this too?
Yeah, he's always whispery. You have to turn your sound way up when Kiefer Sutherland's on.
And then the commercials come on and zap your ears.
And he doesn't yell at Chloe at all.
No, there's none of that. There's none of that.
Or Edgar.
Yeah. That doesn't come up. Kurt, thank you. Always great to see you. That's Kurt Wagner. Again, his website is tvshowpatrol.com. It's a great one. So visit that if you love television. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder with you on WGN.